A new test to quickly determine whether a patient has Ebola is under development at Health and Human Services. The test would deliver a diagnosis in 20 minutes and to help slow the disease's spread. Dr. Robin Robinson is the director of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority at Health and Human Services. He joins me now with more on the test and the process by which the department set about creating it. Dr. Robinson, great to have you on.
It's my pleasure, Tom. I listen to you quite often in the morning as I drive in.
All right. Well, glad to have you on the show then. And so I guess my first question is about BARDA itself, this office. It sounds like something that you would expect to be in CDC or maybe in NIH, but you're at part of Maine Health and Human Services. Tell us about the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority.
Yes, the BARDA was established in 2006 with the Pandemic and All Hazard Preparedness Act that has the sole purpose to support advanced development and make available medical countermeasures, whether it be vaccines, therapeutics, diagnostics, and medical devices for the civilian population for bioterrorism, pandemic influenza, and emerging infectious disease, such as we're now seeing with the Ebola epidemic in West Africa.
And so what are some of the other products you've developed since those years, in those intervening years?
Yeah, so over the last 8 or 9 years, we've been able to have 21 of our products approved by the FDA, and those include influenza vaccines, pandemic influenza vaccines, and also a number of antitoxins for anthrax, for botulism, and a number of drugs to treat individuals that have been exposed to radiation, and many more.
And do you typically partner with industry in developing these, or are some of them developed just in-house with the resources within BARDA, within HHS?
So we partner not only with industry, but also our federal partners at the CDC, FDA, and NIH, and over at the Department of Defense. And so we support the extramural funding of the development of these in industry so they can move forward toward FDA approval. And we also work with academic labs to provide supportive measures and devices and similar analyticals to support the approval of these different medical countermeasures.
And when you are knowing that you're working on something that might have to have approval by the FDA, is this an ongoing collaboration with them as you develop it, or do you develop it and then dump all the paperwork and everything at the FDA's doorstep?
No, it's an iterative process that we work with our partners at FDA, but also across what we call the Public Health Emergency Medical Countermeasure Enterprise. That enterprise actually encompasses HHS and Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, and other departments in the U.S. government that we work together to develop these medical countermeasures. But certainly BARDA is very integral with collaborating with FDA to develop these from product candidates into becoming real products that can be approved or licensed by the FDA.
And so far, the diseases that you've mentioned for which you had developed vaccines and so forth have been threats, but so far they haven't really burst forth that badly in the United States anyhow.
Well, certainly we do know that the H1N1 pandemic of 2009 did occur here, and we were very integral in making sure that vaccines and antiviral drugs were available for that pandemic. And we are a preparedness organization to make sure that we have these medical countermeasures for many of these. But certainly last summer we became involved, as other U.S. government agencies did, and really responding to the Ebola epidemic and being able to provide and develop medical countermeasures that may be useful in control, but also then in the treatment and prevention of the Ebola, not only in West Africa, but in other parts of the world, including the United States.
I guess that was one of the more scary diseases to come along in recent years, and there were some cases in the United States. And so the medical countermeasures in this case is really early detection as opposed to a cure for once someone has it. And what role does early detection play in the prevention of further spread of it, or in the treatment of people that do have it?
Well, certainly the earlier that we can detect this in individuals, then the better control measures that we can have and to be able to control the disease, and such that we're now talking about, instead of millions of cases, that we're actually looking at having zero cases in West Africa and other parts of the world. And the ability to have diagnostic devices that are really easy to use and are point of care in the field can expedite that control intervention.
And so how was this particular disease detected before this, and what does this do that makes it available, or the diagnosis available, much faster?
So similarly, what we've seen over the last 25 years, the symptoms of the disease were pretty profound, and certainly with fever, diarrhea, and hemorrhaging. And what we've seen is having really good diagnostic devices then can, in a matter of minutes to hours, be able to triage individuals and or individuals that have been exposed and at risk to be able to move those away from individuals that we know are infected and be able then to mount an effective treatment modality for them to, with supportive care and now maybe with some of our experimental therapeutics going forward.
Now, this device that you have, or this technique you've developed for spotting it, it takes place, you can diagnose the disease in minutes or hours. Why did it take so long before? Isn't it you just couldn't put a drop of blood on a slide and take a look through a microscope?
Unfortunately, that was not possible because we needed to detect specifically the Ebola virus. And the diagnostic device that we're supporting with OraSure as our partner actually measures the ability of the antibodies specific to that virus to bind to the proteins, and like a home pregnancy test, then one can in about 20 minutes see whether or not the sample is positive from either blood fluids or actually oral fluids, or that one can take actually from cadavers also, which is actually being used in field tests that the CDC is doing in West Africa to look at individuals that may have passed away and that have the virus in their fluids. The other test that has been used is a molecular test that actually looks at the nucleic acids, and it takes several hours, and it takes sophisticated equipment to do that, whereas this is a very simple little device that can be used, and either the person can use it with the fluids from their gums, or the, actually a healthcare worker then can do a needle stick and provide the blood into the little device. And then in 20 minutes, you actually see if you're positive, a line there, or if it's negative, then you won't see a line, just like you would see in a simple diagnostic test.
We're speaking with Dr. Robin Robinson, Director of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority at Health and Human Services. So in other words, it detects the antibodies rather than the disease itself, the antibody being a reliable marker that the disease itself is there?
Just the opposite. It detects the proteins from the virus, and the antibodies are in the test itself. And
Got
so the
it.
Antibodies are the test, yes.
Okay, well, you can see why I don't work in a blood lab, because I would get everything backwards. And so is this the kind of thing that also would be stockpiled or held in, you know, in warehouses should something happen?
So this rapid detection test could possibly be stockpiled and certainly could be a commercial product in the near future. And there's a similar product that the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease has supported with Coragenix. It's also a rapid detection device that uses a similar type of platform.
And tell us, by the way, you mentioned anthrax earlier, and that's something that seems to rear its ugly head from time to time. I recall a few years ago there was an antidote for anthrax, but it was kind of dangerous stuff and it had a bad side effect. Are you working on something new for anthrax?
So for anthrax, we actually do have two antibiotics that we are stockpiled in the Strategic National Stockpile at CDC. And we have several antitoxins. Both of them have been actually approved by the FDA that can be used if the antibiotics are not working very well. And we actually have a vaccine that is licensed for general use, but also that will be used for post-exposure prophylaxis or prevention that we hope to have approved by the FDA very soon.
All right, so on this Aura Quick Rapid Ebola Antigen Test, is this now through FDA, or is this something you're about to submit for approval there?
So we will be supporting this device so that it can be used under emergency use authorization, similar to what other devices have been approved by the FDA under emergency use. We ultimately, though, want this device to be approved by the FDA so that it can be on the commercial market and be used not under emergency use like we have right now. So the first part of this is to get it under emergency use, make sure that we have a prototype product, to optimize that product from the field tests that are ongoing with CDC in West Africa, and improve the device such that we can then make it a commercial scale and then go towards the FDA with the proper documentation and data to support its approval.
And I just wanted to ask you one more question about BARDA. Give us a sense of how many people work there and what kinds of skills, what is the breakdown of the people that are in BARDA?
Yeah. So BARDA is part of the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response here at HHS, and we have 167 dedicated and highly skilled scientists and technicians and management personnel that work day and night to support the development of these medical countermeasures. And they have come from many from industry, many from academia, and also from regulatory agencies, not only here in the U.S., but elsewhere. And so in many cases, we look like a pharmaceutical company in how we actually work on a daily basis, but we work with the industry partners to help them all the way through the development process, whether it be a technical or a regulatory way. And we actually have services that we call core service assistance programs that actually help the manufacturers and developers to make sure we get these medical countermeasures through the entire process. It can be available for stockpiling or actual use in an event and be approved by the FDA.
All right. Dr. Robinson is the Director of Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority at Health and Human Services. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.